Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started.
What's up, guys? You're listening to the final cast on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm Brad.
And I'm Matt.
What's up, Matt? What's going on?
What's going on, buddy?
Not much. I want to start off the show, like, just real quick. We kind of do that every now and then where we say what's new in the box. But you don't have something that can fit in a box, so... What's new in
the
garage?
Very big box. So I am the proud new owner of not only a Venom P127, which is so nice, but I also have an SS107 that I got. So I got two new kayaks in the garage, which is awesome.
Heck yeah. That's cool. I'm pumped to see that. I want to try the 127 out. We haven't tried it yet because we broke the rudder at the expo.
We did. Yep. Broke the first one in Ohio. Just snapped it right in half. It's great.
Yeah. But yeah, you got to let me try it when we get out together. It'd be fun.
Oh, for sure. I just got to get out, man. I feel like the last 2 weeks of my life has been go to work, come home, go to sleep, go to work, come home, go to sleep, get the weekend off, and then run softball tournaments.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been nonstop. I haven't got to be able to fish in like a week and a half. I'm going insane.
Yeah, that stinks. I went like Saturday, Sunday for about an hour or two both days. But
how's the Crescent Sholey holding up so far?
I dig it, dude. That thing paddles really well. I'm debating on putting Newport on it. I still don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going back and forth.
I think you should just take a page out of Drew Gregory's book and put a XI-5 105-pound thrust on the front of it.
I don't want to do that, but... It's cool,
because,
but I don't want to.
Because why not? Why not have a 105-pound thrust on a light boat?
Yeah. No, I saw that video. It was cool, and he was flying, but...
Oh, you know. Yeah, dude. I'm surprised he didn't get on plane.
Yeah. But anyway, man, we got a cool episode planned for you guys. We're bringing back on John Thomas from Yak Gadget. He has released a bunch of new stuff since last time we talked to him. I think it was... in March, and Matt, well, you were still like a guest host.
I was a guest host. Whoa. Yeah, yeah, it was either I was a guest host or it was the week I joined.
Yeah, it was something.
It was right on the cusp. Yeah.
So but anyway, right there. What's up, John? Welcome back.
What's going on, fellas?
Not much.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I keep making crap, so I must be doing all right, I reckon. I don't know. I feel like Tony Stark. I need to start blowing up some suits or something.
Dude, I dig it. I dig that you're always coming out with something new, because then we can have you back on the show. And yeah, having you on our show is one of my favorite times to do the podcast, just because you're easy to talk to and you make cool products.
Well, oh, I'll share a secret with y'all. That's the only reason why I make stuff, so I keep coming back on here. I have a great time too, man. It's like, man, they're not going to invite me back. I need to make like another 45 products.
I can tell you right now, I promise if we'll just make a contract, you keep making stuff, you'll keep coming on.
That's exactly right. For every 10 products, you'll have me on every week the way I'm going right now. I don't know what's wrong with me.
We'll just change it from the final cast to the Yak Gadget Show.
I'm in, man. Yak Gadget Show brought to you by Yak Gadget. That wouldn't sound biased at all, would it?
And we got like 13 different shows. You could be on a different show each week.
Hey, that would be awesome. I can have Yak Attack on. That would go great.
I bet it would.
Oh, I can imagine the viewer count and on that would be ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, man. You just call it the Fight Zone or Fight Club. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Now, I love those guys, man. I really do, man. I ain't got no problems with anyone. I'm just down here in Tennessee making stuff.
But you guys kind of make some similar products, but for the most part, you guys went completely different ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, what we've kind of done is we've let the consumers drive us in terms of, and that's why, you know, when you guys last talked to me, I had been working shows ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. Because that's my market research. I mean, I go to the shows and the customers tell us exactly what they want. It's no secret. I mean, I'm not some inventing genius or anything. I just listen to the feedback that we get from our awesome fan base and customers and everyone else. Guys like yourself tell me what you want. And it's up to me then to either figure out a way to deliver that or not make it, you know, depending on what makes sense or what doesn't. But for the most part, if I look at it and I do the extensive research that we do, then we're going to work on making that item. And that's why stuff keeps coming out. And I think that's what drives us. And I'm sure it's that way for Yak Attack as well. I'm sure it's that way for Yak Gear and, you know, and a lot of other larger manufacturers, you know, including kayak companies. But I think for us, what's been kind of neat is, you know, with the way that we make things with our process, it's more accelerated for us just because we have the flexibility to do it. If it was all plastic injected molded, we would be a lot more limited in our ability to get things out as quick as we do. And that's what we take advantage of. Now, our cost per item in terms of what it costs us to make it is high, but then our flexibility is also high, where if you get things plastic injected molded, it costs you some money on the front end with the mold, but after that, then it's pretty nominal or pretty minimal when you make it per part. But it also takes you longer, and you've also got to go through different adjustments and variations and testing to make sure that that product is strong on every time plastic is injected in that mold, so that your quality of your products don't suffer. So I think our philosophy to keep it more CNC related and maybe even some thermoforming. I don't know. I have some things on the docket for plastic injected, but if I do, that's going to be like nylon. It's going to be pretty thick walls because that's the way we build things. We just don't want you to have to be replacing stuff every season. Mm-hmm. So for us, you know, I think what we're proud of is the fact we have been able to do, you know, a lot of different items. And we're one of the few companies that make something for every part of your boat, whether it's anchor systems, whether it's motor mounts, whether it's, now our new triple plate initiative, whether it's storage accessories, track mounted accessories, all those things. Like we're one of the few, I'm not going to say we're the only company, but we might very well be the only company that makes stuff in all those areas. I mean, you know, you have companies like Anchor Wizard. They only make, you know, a couple of items and it's only in one category, or micro power pole. You know, Yak Attack before us was definitely the most expansive in terms of all the different things they made, but they never really didn't veer beyond track mounted accessories very much. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that, because it's highly profitable.
It's also easier to achieve. The molds are smaller. They cost less to get made, and it's more cost effective to do it. So there's a lot of reasons why they've done what they've done. We've kind of attacked a much broader, you know, target area, because we kind of make just about everything for a kayak, which is good and bad. Mm-hmm. You know, I definitely have, I have my opinions on that, most certainly. But for us, it's been mostly good, just because, you know, when our plastic comes in, we have the flexibility to choose what we use it for or how we use it. And sometimes some of the larger items we'll make by order. I mean, if an order comes in and we've only sold just a handful of them, we monitor that and then we make the decision. Do we pre-make them like we do our flex rods? We know we're making flex rods every day because we sell them. We're selling the crap out of them every day. But if a product like a new canoe anchor for a Frontier 12, you know, we might wait until that one comes on order, let the customer know. It might take a couple extra days, but that but then that doesn't tie up our plastic or tie up our time. So it's one of those things where, you know, because we talked about this today with some folks. They've been asking us, how do you guys make all the stuff that you make? We have shy of 140 different SKUs right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of insane when you step back and you look at it. Now, it's taken us 4 years to get to that number. But when you look at that sheer volume of SKUs, that's a lot, for especially for a smaller company. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot to keep up with. I mean, for us, the hardware differences, man, we've got just about every kind of bolt and screw you can think of.
I believe it.
And it's a bigger investment, because we have to have all that stuff on hand, and right now with supply chain, we've had to buy in higher volume to maintain priority. So it's been this has definitely been a bigger investment year. We've also brought some newer equipment into the shop, which, you know, is also been a bigger investment. I mean, as far as our sales, we've been right up there with last year for the most part, which has been pretty awesome. This month I've seen a little bit of a decrease, but that's really to be expected. I mean, especially with the interest rates doubling since March. You know, I love the fact that we're being told we only have 7% inflation when everything else has gone up double digits or even triple digit. So that does weigh into what we manufacture in the industry, and you're going to see that with every company. We have to take all that in consideration. What I'm proud of is we've been able to actually get some of the costs of some of our materials down, especially our plastic. Don't ask me how we've done it, but we've been able to buy a high volume, and now I have multiple distributors, and that's really helped us be able to negotiate prices to get them down. And it's been a blessing, because that's helped us, because last year they soared to an absolute all-time high when I had an increase over 110% on my plastic.
Oh, wow.
And we've been able to get that down. So, you know, and don't mean to jump across the board here, but that's kind of, that's what's made this year so far a very interesting year, is that it's been kind of a roller coaster in terms of the supply chain and in terms of plastic materials, but it's really increased our flexibility in terms of what we can make and what we can offer. And now it's allowed us to explore new avenues within the market, because I say this all the time, no matter how many products you think we've made or you think exist in the market, there's always room for more. There's always opportunities when it comes to kayaks, DIY, and now for us, all kinds of other things, ice fishing, camping, aluminum boats, all kinds of things. So for us, you know, we now have bought different types of material to where we can address a lot of these things we've been wanting to do. And the underneath seat storage was an area that we've attacked this year. Several new products that we've released, and that we're continuing to make different versions for different boats. So that's allowed us to do that. I know we'll be talking about some of that stuff and some and a lot of other things, but I think for us, it's been really exciting for the, you know, in terms as scary as it's been this year, you know, in terms of the economy, we just don't know what the future is going to hold. It's also been an exciting year for us too.
That's cool.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, especially with like what you said at the beginning. I think what's so cool about Yak Gadget is you guys, and I'm sure, like you said, I'm sure the other companies do it too, to an extent, but how you let the customer or the consumer and the market drive what you make. Because obviously a lot of the things when it comes into kayaking, me and Brad have talked, you know, oh, you know, it'd be cool if this would be a thing or if this would be a thing.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
just we don't have the resources to do it ourselves.
Exactly. So like having a company like yours where you can be like, hey, John, this would be awesome. Is it possible? Because obviously there's some things it's not, but if you're like, oh yeah, you know, and it comes down to like a lot of things. If one or two people are thinking about it, probably a lot of people have thought about it and just can't do it. So that's awesome how you guys are attacking the market that way.
Thank you, Matt. I mean, and thank you, Brad, too. The thing about it is you just made a great point. I am never going to pretend to be.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
You know, the, I don't know, omnipotent master of all ideas. I mean, yes, in this industry, we have made things that other people have thought about. We're not the sole originators of this world at all. In fact, we got into it relatively late. We started our company in 2018. Yak Attack had already been in existence at that time, I think, for what, at least 8 years maybe or more. I'm not quite sure of their history. I knew it was right around 2010, maybe even before. I'm not clear on. I need to go back, I guess, and do my research there. But I mean, they've been around for a long time. We got in this game a lot later. So yeah, these things have existed. But what I've loved, I guess, with the way we've set this business up is we've always maintained that, and again, I use this word too much, but this flexibility, I really do believe in it, because what it's allowed us to do is examine things from a different angle. Look, there's all kinds of rod holders out there. Why should we release a rod holder? Well, ours lets your rod sit horizontally. Why is that important? Okay, well, if we're going to do that, should we make it two rods? Should we make it four rods? Should we make it 1,000 rods like some people would like? Mm-hmm. You know, and then we take all the data that we get from our emails, from our, from Facebook messages, Instagram messages, all of the feedback from our shows. And we basically take all that, we boil it down, and then we make business decisions based on that. And we can do that quicker than some other people just because of what I explained before, the process. However, we don't just do it just because we think it's a good idea. It doesn't matter what I think about my products. If we're not addressing your needs and our customers' needs, they're not going to buy it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty simple. And so what we try to do is make sure that we're addressing that first. And then if we think it's cool, that's a bonus. But beyond that, it's really about the feedback. And that's one of the reasons why I don't go to ICAST that much. I'm not anti-ICAST. I think it's a fun show when you're down there. It's impossible to not have a great time. However, for me, I have way more fun and I enjoy the fishing expos, like hanging out with you guys in Columbus, like I did in February.
Yeah, that was fun.
Working East Tennessee, going to Raleigh. We're kind of excited. Next year, we're actually going to, have my shop foreman, Colton Adams, who's been amazing. He's going to be working some shows while I'm going to be working other shows around the country to areas I haven't been in yet. And we're going to be able to cover twice the terrain.
That's a good idea. As
we've been able to cover this year. Instead of working 8 shows, we're probably going to work 16 to 20.
Nice.
That's awesome. And be it, because the North keeps asking me to come up there. You know, you know, you've got the New Hampshire show, the Pennsylvania show, Indianapolis. I've missed Indianapolis twice. I'm not going to miss it again.
That's a big one from what I hear too.
Massive Andy's show. Huge. And the Louisiana show I hear is big. Is it McAllen, Texas, I think, or right around there? They've got a huge show. So there's a lot of shows that we've missed that I don't want to miss anymore. And now being able to divide and conquer is going to allow us to get twice the coverage. I'm more excited about that than I am any of these other shows. Now, for other types of companies and for other types of like media and things like that, shows like iCast are super important. But for me, as my company, these expos give me the opportunity to sell direct, market to people that may not know about our brand, and most importantly, get R&D. We're getting paid to get R&D. I mean, we're making money from the booth, and then we're basically paying to market ourselves and do research development. So I make a big investment in those shows. I buy larger booths, and I do that for a reason. To draw attention to us so that we can bring more people in and get more information. So for us, it's been great and it's been crucial. And I'm driving in parts of the country that I may not have been before. So that's pretty exciting for me, but I'm usually driving when there's an ice storm or I'm getting chased by a snowstorm and I'm missing it by like 15 minutes, like I did Cincinnati this year. Where I was basically 15 minutes ahead of a storm that enveloped Nashville. So that's the thing, you know, it's exciting times. I always think it's exciting times, but I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the off season of this year with a lot of companies that are out there but I'm excited because for us, again, we're just exploring new ground all the time. And because for us, we have the flexibility to do that.
Exciting times, which is definitely important, especially in this market. It's constantly changing, Kai, which is a good thing because, you know, we've talked in the past to where some kayak companies, we almost feel like they've been stagnant and they're just updating the same model every year. And the new update is like your rod holder's moved up 2 inches or something weird. Like it's nothing major.
Or putting a rod holder in.
You're adding a rod holder, you're adding, you know, your tank well increased by 2 inches or something, which are good things. But, you know, the last 2 years, we've really seen the market, like with the P127, the NAR, the Scholey, all these boats that are starting to come out to where it feels like it's an exciting time to be in the sport and to be in the category, I guess, of kayak fishing, because a lot of companies are doing a lot of different things. And that's what's awesome about your company is that when everybody else is stagnant, you're still building new things,
right?
Like, you know, that's what's awesome about it. So
competition, man, it makes like it's good for the consumers, man. It pushes innovation and it's awesome.
I'm glad you said that, because I'm gonna make a statement that I'll probably get a lot of emails for. but think about the Black Pack Pro that Yak Attack has released. If there was no Low Pro Crate or Low Pro Crate XD, does that product make the market? Now they would probably argue and say JT's full of crap. But I was at the same fishing expo they were at the KBF National Championship, and they saw me selling the crap out of our crate, selling out. And I'm pretty sure it has driven an influence, because they happen to be nearly the same prices as our prices, and they're the same sizes as ours. So if ours didn't exist, does the consumer benefit? And I think that right there tells you a lot. Now, that sounds like an arrogant statement. And if it does, then you know what? I haven't slept in 4 years. I think I reserve the right to say it. because we knew the first thing we needed to do was address the 3,700 box. And we were the first one that made a crate to actually do it, you know, and do it where you can actually access it while you're on the water too, which is still a new concept to a lot of the other people that manufacture crates. Ours is still the only one that I have used personally and had several fishing professionals use that. They could actually grab their stuff without having to turn their body while they're on the water.
Yeah, that's the annoying part about crates.
It is.
You're having to turn around, put your knees up on the seat to bend over the seat, like inside. Like I've done that before I got the Low Pro, and I was, it's just because you have to stop everything you're doing. But with that, I can fish, reach back behind me, feel my bungees, flip up a bungee, and I've got a little special because my wife put fingernail polish on my boxes at different thicknesses, so I can feel and be like, crankbaits, and I can grab the box and bring it right out, but I don't have to turn at all. Like if I want to, it's just a quick this.
You got a bad back too, so that's big for you.
It's huge for me. I mean, I've got degenerative disc disease, and me turning around all day would just kill me. I'd be off the water way quicker. But
yeah,
I having your product makes it easier.
Yeah, I had back surgery in 2004, and that's where this product came from, was the lack of flexibility that I have due to my surgery in my lower spine. And the thing about it is, look, if you're in a new canoe, you have a wonderful swivel seat that you can turn around and grab. It doesn't matter, dude, if you put it in a vault. You can get to it, okay? If you're in a Hobie Pro Angler, if you're in a bona fide SS or P127, you can get to your stuff. If you're in a Crescent Scholey, or if you're in a CK1 and you're trying to turn your body around, make sure you carry a snorkel with you. You're going to be swimming, and just because of the lack of mobility that you have, everything looks great on dry ground. Okay. And I say that at the shop ad nauseum. On dry ground, everything looks like a winner. What is it like when you're out there, and not only that, but in moving water, in current, and you're in a fishing tournament, and you've got to get access to that bait so that you can stay in the game. Are you going to want a fully waterproof thing with a coffin lid that you've got to turn your body completely around, or stand up while the water's moving to try to access that gear? Or do you want to just use ours and get your gear fast and stay in the game and keep competing? And that's the question that I not only asked when I designed it, but when I showed it to everyone. Now, I had an interesting experience, and I think we didn't talk about it, but I went to California in March, and I was supposed to go out there for a show. The show got canceled like literally a day and a half before I flew out there. And so my wife asked me, okay, JT, what the heck are you going to do? I said, hey, I'm going, because it now gives me an opportunity to get in, rent a truck, and drive the entire state and visit as many dealers. I think I went to 15 different dealers, from all the way to Oregon, all the way down to San Diego. And that experience was awesome, because I got to go on the coast and talk to a lot of kayak shops, and those guys are saltwater. What I discovered about our crate was, and it was awesome, because I let these guys go out on the water with our crate, and they said, hey, it's the only crate on saltwater they want to use. Why? Because the ocean doesn't care about your lid.
Yep.
Your water is moving. You've got to be able to access your gear, and you're in a kayak usually where you're sitting low, and you don't have that ability to stand up, get your knees on your seat, and get to your gear. So for us, they gave us excellent feedback, and I didn't have to change anything. Let's put it that way. And I'm talking about some great saltwater guys. We have an awesome saltwater expert, Dustin Nichols, on our team. Mm-hmm. Who is an amazing, not only amazing fisherman, but an amazing person. And hey, he uses our crate faithfully on salt water. We also realized something with our Low Pro standard crate, that it fits the eddy line kayaks. It's small enough. You can take out the dividers and still have your 3,700 availability, but it'll fit the Wilderness system tarpon. You know, there's a lot of those types of kayaks that are very popular on saltwater, and us being on the California side of things allowed us to really see that and see how relevant our crate is. And that even after these things have been out over 2.5 years, they still maintain their relevance because of the feedback that we've gotten. Now, I'll add one more thing to this. Because of that, what we also realized was that our side rod tubes unfortunately, we're kind of on the XD, especially if you put it in a Bonafide or if you put it in the Bob Shearwater. They were catching because they were at the same level as the ones on the rear. And we've just come up with a new upgrade, and any new XD crate bought will now include them is our rod risers.
Nice.
And that kicks those side rods up at least 6 inches from the bottom of the crate, clearing every gunnel out there.
So, yeah. I was going to mention that. I'm glad you hit it, because that XD crate basically fits just about every kayak out there now that you have those.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that comes from feedback. That comes from, you know, listening to our customers. And we have a decision, right? We can either listen or we can just keep doing what we're doing. Well, no, we're going to listen. And the rod risers are just great because they're you're not having to drill into your crate. You're using the holes that already came with it. And you're basically just, you know, and if you look on there right there, you'll see that there's these little adjustment holes. So it allows you to basically lift it up or bring it down based on your preference. So, so we try to give you some flexibility, adjustability. Again, we're huge on adjustability. I've had so many products from so many other companies over the years since I've been a kayak fisherman that adjustability is a big sticking point with me. So it's that kind of stuff, you know, that only going on the road, constantly talking to our customers and people interested in our stuff, just doing that relentlessly, it's how we've been able to, I think, improve as a company and improve our product line and keep our products relevant no matter what our competitors come out with. Mm-hmm. And again, you can use it while you're on the water. So that's a plus.
No, I mean, yeah. it's cool because I ran into that issue when I got the Scholey. I was like, oh, crap, the rod holders don't fit. And then, like, literally, you must have been working on it before that. You turned around and it was like, bam, we released this. I'm like, well, there we go. It's going to fit
now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, go ahead, Matt.
No, I was going to say, I remember just from that, I remember Brad getting the Scholey, and then, like, the next day, he's like, dude, my box doesn't fit. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, the side rod holders. I was like, well, I mean, you could just drill new holes. Like, it's the joy of it. You can customize it. He's like, yeah, I could definitely do that, you know. And then it was like Brad said, it was like 2 days later, and it came out. And he sent me the thing off the post, and I was like, well, I mean, now you don't have to drill anything because John, of course, knows everything and already made it.
I wish I knew everything. I wouldn't be doing this, I don't think, if I did. you're right, though. I mean, and let's talk about the Scholey real quick. So the Scholey, for the first time, I think, since we've been a company, I was able to actually get that kayak 2 days before it was released to the public. I got it from my dealer who just said, hey, promise you don't show this or make a video before it officially drops. I said, okay, fine. But I had it. So the Scholey really drove the rod risers, to be honest, Brad. I mean, it's funny that you said we were working on it at the same time. We absolutely were. And we noticed that with Lightning, and we noticed that with a couple of other brands that we were having, you know, this issue. Well, okay, cool. No matter what, if you have that issue, we're going to address it. And so we came up with that because I was thinking, I was like, look, I could, you know, just tell people to get the riser kit, which we have sold a lot of those. And some people, they set up high enough to where they want the riser kit anyway. But yeah. I was thinking, well, a more non-invasive way to do this is to add these pieces. And we have a bunch of that material. We've got that material probably in about a 9-foot stack. And so I was like, well, let's go ahead and use it and make that stuff and let's go. And we did it. We've done quite well with it since we released it, and it's really helped things. And now, you know, we're even working on making a more roided up box. We are working on a new, we're working on two new products as fact and storage. And one of them is going to involve the power aspect of things.
As a factory guy, please just let me know what it is after. Because
Oh, I was gonna. I literally have a text.
Yeah.
Written up for you that I forgot to send. I was like, hey man, can you think about making a box for like a battery too, or some power option? Because that would be sick.
And so, and here's the thing too, guys. You know, we talk about the Black Pack Pro. We're making a couple of accessories for the Black Pack Pro. So, you know, we'll be happy to take the Akatak customers' money too. I mean, we want to help everybody, you know. So everybody asked me the day when they said they were releasing those products, I got calls. I was in California at the time, actually, and I got calls. They were like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I said, I ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to let them release it. And then I'm going to see where the opportunities are. And I'm going to add my 2 cents and add some cool products that will help those customers enrich their experience with that product. Look, there's no secret. Yakutat makes awesome stuff. I'm never going to say that. They've inspired me to get into the game. I have no problem with any of that. Now, what can I do to continue to stay competitive and continue to stay viable in the industry? Well, it's real simple. Can't beat them, join them, man. Just go ahead and make stuff that's going to enrich that experience too. I get ideas every day. Some of them are really terrible, but I get ideas every day, and we'll keep making products. That's what we'll do.
Yeah. What's cool. Sorry, Brad. I don't mean to cut you off, but
no, you're good.
I don't want to get too far away from when you know, you got that Scholey early and you're already making, you know, the risers for the rod tube. And, that's what's cool about that is, like, I'll share this real quick on the screen. What kind of benefits you can get from getting a boat before the general public does, cause you already had the Scholey triple plates ready to go.
That's right.
Which, you know, we can talk about that a little bit, to where it gives you, instead of the one mounting on the rear, it gives you multiple mounting options. And then, you know, you have that. And then you have what is awesome about the Scholey is that front gear track in the front. And you've already adapted the Quickstop Smart Cleat to it for anchoring
systems. That's what I want.
That is awesome. And it offsets where you can still use that track. But it like you said, it enriches the experience. So for, you know, customers who got the Scholey and they're like, well, I could put a anchor at the front, but I have to sacrifice my whole track because it'll be right in the middle. Now you don't, because you made the product because you had the boat early, which is awesome. And it was ready to go within a week.
That's right. And that was, we saw it as a huge opportunity. What's always happened to us is we're not necessarily the last to get the boats, but we get them much later after they've been released. You know, unfortunately with the Jackson Gnar, there hasn't been enough of them for us to get. And fortunately we have fellow pro member Lance McWhorter, who came by our shop, and he happened to pick up his Gnar and brought it by the shop. And we were able to actually develop underneath the seat storage tray for that boat. And but if we don't get access to this stuff when it's released, it doesn't handicap us, but to have the Scholey ahead of time, what it did, it allowed us to bring out products just for that boat before anyone else. And and for me, I felt it was opportunity, because I do believe that the Scholey is the type of a boat that's going to be a staple boat in the industry that really sets a lot of trends. It already kind of has.
Yeah.
And you know, no matter what you're going to use that boat for, there's all, like I've said on everything that we do, there's always opportunities. And so that's what we kind of explored. And so with that triple plate, Matt, we'll start with that. The triple plate was something that we learned from the Hobie experience of, we made a triple plate back in the winter for the Pro Angler. And that was kind of the first triple plate. And we made it for that. And it got such good response, especially at the fishing expos, that, you know, dealers, you know, like Dugout and Music City Outdoors, some of the bigger Hobie dealers in the Southeast region picked them up almost sight unseen. we started selling the mess out of them, and that's been a really popular product. Well, I started getting emails and phone calls and all these different, you know, contacts about, well, why don't you make this for other boats? And we started exploring it, and the Scholey gave us an opportunity to make it, because unfortunately, the only thing unfortunate about the Scholey, in my opinion, and again, it's just my opinion, is you got to hard mount it to the boat, because that's, you know, They didn't have inserts, and I know why they didn't, just because of the way they designed that back end. It's a very unique design back end, and so it does make it hard to put inserts in the boat. So then you got a hard mount. So that kind of led us to going, well, if we make something, you got a hard mount to make it easier to add items and take away, we might as well give you the option to put more than one item on the boat, because it's almost a waste of effort if you don't. So we kind of took that Hobie Pro Angler triple plate kind of feel to it, put that back there. What we discovered with that plate is we've added plenty of holes in it. And the reason why we added a couple more holes, that same plate will fit the Bonafide.
Oh, wow. Nice.
SS 127, P127. It'll fit Hobie Outback. It'll fit all of your Jackson boats. On those models, we're going to include a spacer plate underneath it to lift it up over the lip. Kaku, the Wahoo, the different Kaku kayaks, anything that uses that four bolt pattern that you use for micro power pole, that triple plate, this particular triple plate will fit that. Now, what we did, you're showing a great top view right there. What we did, we added two holes to make it a true power pole mount. But you see the other holes right there for the Showley, because we're using the handle bolt there. So the only two holes you have to drill into the Showley, we made it as easy as we possibly could. I don't like drilling holes in boats. I don't care if you're experienced. Brad is a brave soul for drilling cutting his entire front hatch out, man.
I tell you what, man, I was when he was talking about it, I was like, yeah, man, maybe you just don't have to do that though. Like, maybe you can just leave it alone.
I didn't bat an eye when I did it, dude. I got home from work and I just cut it out.
Man, it's the same thing as when I was running power for my RS. You're just like, yeah, dude, it's just a 1-inch hole. I was like, yeah, it's just a 1-inch hole in my boat. It's fine.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know, you got to think about it. What Brad does for a living, he is very competent with power tools and he can do that. I'm competent enough with power tools, but cutting the whole inner hole out. There's no way in the world I'm ever going to do that. So we made this as easy as possible to basically use the two handle holes to line up the plate so that you can easily drill not 1-inch holes, but, you know, quarter inch holes in those top two right there. And then of course we give you the associated hardware to easily mount that. So that kind of led to our discovery with all the others. We were like, well, look, if we add two more holes there for the bottom part of the micro pattern, then that allows us to open up to Hobie Outbacks. That allows us to open up to the Bonafides, to the Jacksons, to the Kakus, the Crescent SUP Plus, which actually is my favorite product that Crescent makes, but that's just because I love fishing SUPs. That's my jam. Excited to get the Zulu. I'm getting a Zulu this week, so I'm excited for that because I love those types of boats. But that's the thing, you know. So adding flexibility to your mounting and making it easy to mount things, that so fits, you know, our profile. So that triple plate was one of the products that kind of pushed us in the direction of Showley. The other thing, the next product that is actually been a surprise to us, you guys know our most popular product is the Flex Rods.
Yep.
The Flex Rod has been just, we released it last year and it continues to perform remarkably well. Well, the one problem with the Flex Rod is for the smaller, and not necessarily smaller boats, because the Showley's not necessarily smaller, but it does ride a bit. You do sit a bit lower. Now, with the Showley, you have a high position. However, the main paddle-only crafts, the Flex Rods sit a little bit too high, and they can sometimes interfere with your paddle stroke. With the Showley, there's an added problem. If you look right there, this is a great picture, where you have that pronounced lip there.
Yeah.
And so that that added another problem with our traditional standard flex rods that we have the paddle holder in the middle and two rods on the side. It butts up against that and it doesn't allow you to really mount it in there flush. So we knew we were going to have to make a new flex rod product. And that's where we kind of put on our thinking helmets. And we were like, okay, let's do two rods without a paddle holder and let's go ahead and make it sit lower where, and also stop on the exact outside of the boat so it never interferes with your paddle stroke. I went out on the water with the Scholey with those, and it was awesome. It was really eye-opening to see what a difference it made. What's great about this, about these micros, is these also work on the CK1s. These also work on the ultralights. These also work on the light tackle. So all the crescent line has now been addressed with this one product. Plus, you look at Vibe, your Vibe Seagulls 110s, your Vibe Seagulls 130s, your Vibe Yellowfin 120s and 100s, your Hoodoo Element 95s, your Tempest, all those types of paddle, mainly paddle type boats. This is a perfect accessory for it. Plus, they're cheaper. They're $32.99. They're $15 difference, if my math is correct, than the full flex rods, and allows you to buy two pair of them and put them on each side. Now you got four rods horizontal if you want. Now Brad had a lot to do with this, but he said, hey, can you make a version where you add the paddle holder back? And I was like, oh, dang it. I guess we better look into that. So we now do have a version where you can have the paddle in the middle as well. So, and there was something interesting that happened on Facebook where one of our customers, really wanted to have a three rod holder without the paddle holder, but also sit as low as the micro. So now we've got a new version coming out of a flex rod micro three rod holder. That is actually adjustable too, because what I learned with the flex rod micro is you have those two holes there where you can pick, to the middle, or I'm not to the middle, but to the outside or the inside. So they're actually somewhat adjustable. Well, these have three position areas, one in the middle, one on the left or right. So it does give you some flexibility, even though it's one piece. So that's actually going to be released this weekend, either tomorrow or Friday, depending on what I have time to do. And so the micro three rod will be out.
That's awesome. Cause you're not only adjust, like for instance, on the P127, having the three rod, my paddles, I'm one of those guys who I still like to have my paddle up near me, but at the same time, I'm just going to have to, it comes with the two paddle holders in the back. So man, I'll play with that and see if I like it. But if I end up liking that, P127 has two rod holders built in to the seat in the hull. And if you have these micros with three rod holders, like space that out, and I could theoretically take 6, 7, 8. I had to do math in my head because I'm stupid. You could take eight rods out with you in a horizontal position.
Yeah.
And well, not have to worry about, having rods sticking up. Like it creates a whole, like no matter what boat it is, it opens it up big time.
Well, absolutely. And then my shop foreman, who's also an avid kayak fisherman, he also reminded me of, well, you know what, that three rod holder, go ahead and make it for the true flex rod, the adjustable version as well. So we're doing that too. So we're now going to have about five different variations of this product.
That's awesome.
I think having the paddle holder for the Scholey version, the micro Scholey version, I think that was important because
limited
when you're space, using. Yeah, when you're using these micros with the Scholey, you kind of lose that ability to use the paddle park that they designed inside the boat, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was kind of struggling. I was like, where am I going to put my paddle if the new rod holders, the new micros don't have it? That's why I reached out to you and asked you about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when I get that kind of feedback, then I had a Scholey in the shop. I could then go over to it and go, you know what? He makes a great point. Let's put that back in. And it took me all of about 15 minutes to do the file and then another 15 minutes to set the tool pass and run the file. So it was really hard for us to to be so flexible.
Yeah, I mean, I can. Oh, sorry, Brad. Go ahead. I've cut you off like 8 times.
All anybody you. Else, it would have took them probably weeks, and if not months, to do that. And that gets back to our original point of flexibility. That's our bread and butter. If we're known for anything, it's listen to our customers and be able to respond before anybody else has even got the chance.
So what did you do different exactly with the micro, the regular version, and then the Scholle version? Like, did you shrink the holes a little bit?
Yeah, we did. We did modify some of the rod reach, and especially now with the 3-rod holder, we got rid of those semicircle nubs. We just realized being out on the water, why put anything in the way to obstruct your fishing rod or line? So we'll probably retroactively apply that to, you know, for say the 23 models of all of our flex rods, we'll probably not have those little, you know, those little semicircle notches any longer. But we did make them a little, we did space the, if you look, like, especially on this product, you'll see the V being kind of offset. We spaced those out so there'd be more room. The one thing, and again, I love the Scholle. I think it's probably one of the most feature-rich boats, especially in its price point on the market. But we also know that Drew Gregory likes bait casters, and he doesn't really like spinning rods very well. And we wanted to make sure that we had a product that would allow the users that use spinning rods to be able to accommodate them as well. I believe there's always room to have your cake and eat it too. And I would be, and, well, I weigh 240 pounds. Obviously I like cake, but the thing is with this, for us, we look at, there's always opportunities no matter what happens. And there's no such thing as a perfect kayak, because we're all different people. We all have different needs. And so we want to present you with as many options as we can humanly possibly afford to do. And that's why we're going to have like a bazillion options for the flex rods, because again, this is all comes from feedback from thousands of customers that have bought this product to tell us what they wish it had. And again, that gives us the opportunity to even look at the meat of our own products and to readdress things. And so I think this flex rod micro, and again, the Scholle being in our shop, really initiated a lot of positive movement and a lot of positive products that we've already had a lot of success with.
Very cool.
Matt, you were going to say something earlier.
Yeah, I was. It's going off, you know, how you messaged him about losing that paddle feature. I think that's what, John, you've talked about this in the past, and you've talked about it a couple times already on the show. You know, you don't know everything as much as you wish you did, as much as I wish I did.
Oh, man.
Make life way easier. I think we both agree on that.
Oh, yeah. I'd be a lot richer, too.
Me, too.
Run the country.
We wouldn't have had that conversation we had before the show started about what's going on with me. But anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't be falling off bicycles either when they're steel.
Oh, Matt's gonna lose it.
Oh, I don't know, man. I mean, you kind of got to give him credit. He was able to pull off the impossible. I'm surprised he didn't get hit by a parked car too. Sheesh.
Oh, John, I got a great thing. Sorry, man. I'm gonna text you after the show. Don't worry, it's gonna be hilarious. You're gonna love it. But what
there's hope for me yet.
Oh no, we're on the same. Don't worry, we're the same.
I guess, but I can lead the country.
You probably could. Oh man, but you know, it's going off the fact that you don't know everything. You're listening to customers, but how you've said in the past, you know, and me and Brad can attest to this. We've been part of, you know, teams and things like that. That is a team, just by
don't feel team. Like it.
They, I mean, you're just there. Right. Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I've found even before, you know, with all the people, all the customers out there, to think it's not just all team driven. Believe me, I've talked to you about stuff and you've made stuff, and Brad's talked about stuff and made stuff. But having the team around to where, you know, we're getting this stuff and we can say, hey, this is awesome. But Brad, I'm missing a paddle holder. You know, is there any way we can make that? And then, like, you didn't think about that, but it was in there. You made it, took you 15 minutes, and boom, now you have a brand new product. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think, you know, that definitely goes into,
you know, something that Yak Gadget does really well and you do really well is you don't just make products. You listen to the team and the customers and stuff.
Well, and thank you. But it's all, you know, the danger of that too is there can be a slippery slope there because custom work is really difficult when you basically have a whole product line that already exists. And if you do custom work, what can happen is that everyone may expect it and then it throws your production schedules. Plus the dealers get riled up because they just bought these things and now there's a new version of it. And so it's always a hard road to walk. With Brad, he made a great, I'm using that as an example. The same with you, Matt, but when y'all make these, you guys are also on our pro team. You guys are factory pro members, which we're excited about, and the reason why that's relevant is you guys have repped us the most and you guys have, put our name out there the most that I've seen, I mean, you and several other of our pros as well, but you guys have done it in a way where feedback is so crucial. You've given us key feedback and that's what a factory pro, and I've kind of had to learn that because I didn't manage our pro team very well. When it first came out, I was kind of horrible at it because I was so busy trying to juggle chainsaws in our own shop that it was really tough to even get my head wrapped around. And what I've realized now is that, for example, our factory pros do more than just do a lot of Facebook and posts and such. What they do is they give us key important feedback that we've got to look at and consider. And when you talked about that paddle piece missing, I went back on the water with that boat and realized I had nowhere to really put my paddle, because when I get out on the boat, I don't always take the time that I need to take to go through everything because it's impossible. I'd be living on the water and I would be single. but that's the thing, And so for me, what did I do? We went ahead, made a new version. I went back out on the water. It was a night and day experience. Having that paddle and everything. So that feedback is crucial. And it's a fine line to walk because a lot of people start to think, oh, we're a custom shop. And we're not a custom shop. We can't do custom work because we've got dealers all over the country. We have other people repping our products. We're even in talks with stores like Shields and some of the other semi chains out there to start carrying our products. The more you get involved with that, you have to have a rigorous production schedule that you have to stay with, and because you're now booking time on your own machines, and the more custom work that you do, taking the time to do one item will cost you the ability to put out hundreds sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I mean, if we have customers that really just have their heart set on something, nine times out of 10, we're going to listen. Now it may be completely something that, like with the case I get again, Brad being the example, where made a lot of sense. We investigated it, made even more sense, and we put it into action. Same with the rod. Same with the rod tube, side rod tube problems with the XD crate. It's like, okay, that's an issue. Let's address it now. But now if somebody says, hey, can you make me a box that'll have 36 rods and you can put two humans in it and we want to mount an outboard motor to the back of it. Well, I'm probably going to say, man, that sounds interesting, but there is no way in hell I'm going to be able to make that.
Yeah.
And I'd hate to say no, but sometimes saying no keeps you from having to say yes to an audit with the tax people or a bankruptcy lawyer.
That's true. Never really thought about that.
Yeah. And I mean, you do have to make those types of choices, and it's not easy sometimes because one thing about the kayak fishing community is they're a very responsive and vocal group. And it's one of the many reasons why I love this industry, because they give us so much crucial data and they don't have to do that. But I've worked in all kinds of industries in my professional career as a graphic designer, and I never experienced that on that level before. So when I got in the kayak fishing industry, the ground or grassroots level of of interacting with the people that use your products on a daily basis, it's hands down like the most rewarding experience I've had, because I've been able to talk with these people directly and make changes in their lives directly, in a way, you know, in terms of their experience out on the water. And I'm proud of that. That's the reason, to be honest, that is the reason I keep doing it. You know, it's not for the finances, I can tell you that, you know, or the headache of managing said finances. It's for the fact that we've made meaningful products, and we're going to continue to make meaningful products. But our competitors, guess what? They make meaningful products too. And that drives us to do better, drives them to do better. And you as the consumer ends up being the winner, because before us, there wasn't as many options, and the price points certainly weren't as good as they are now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Oh, for sure.
Was there anything else that we wanted to hit on before we wrap it up?
Y'all go ahead. If y'all got something, I'm not going to take over your show.
No, I don't know. We can go over the Lightning Kayaks rudder upgrade real quick. I know it's not much, but you want to talk about that?
Well, there's actually something we can talk about. We've been dancing around this underneath source thing for a little bit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So the underneath storage systems, let's talk about that real quick. I'm going to be honest. We caught a little flack with this product.
Really?
Because there's another company, starts with one, ends with the objective. They made a version of it earlier this year, and some people accused us of copying or whatnot. Now, I'll set the record straight and say 2 years ago, we were approached by Jackson Kayak to make a quad box for the Blue Sky, which we did. This product is a direct variant of that. I made this product quickly because of the Blue Sky box was already developed. All we did was change the side dimensions and add an inner divider. But it's basically the same box that we designed in principle over two plus years ago. Plus we've been in storage accessories for well over 2.5 years. And I understand people's concerns, but how many different kayaks are there out there in the market? I've not had one person complain about how many different kinds of kayaks or trucks or soft drinks There can be more than one maker of an item, right?
Yes.
Yeah. As long as it's not patented.
But even if it is patent, you can still make a similar item in the industry, as long as it's different and it's accomplishing different goals. And with our product, it does. Now I love One Objective. They're great guys. I mean, they are down to earth, really good, hardworking people, like we are. And so I'm not trying to mess with any, I mean, it's just going to happen when you're competing in a competitive industry. However, this is not their box. This is a variation of a box that we released over 2 years ago. So I will say that, and that sounds petty, and I do apologize, but I don't run away from things. If somebody has a concern, I'll address the concern. But what that has led to is us exploring other kayaks with this same type of situation. And what I did discover then during this whole process is, what about the kayaks that sit low?
Mm-hmm.
What about the Outback? What about the Mokin 10, which is one of the best value kayaks you can buy? What about the Hoodoo Tempest 120P? What about some of those boats? Well, we came out with a product on the same level, but it's called the Duo. And what the Duo does is allows you to put, because what we discovered is all these seats were wide enough to still put two 3,700 boxes underneath your seat. Before, you weren't able to use that space underneath there because it's part of the mold and there's nothing to stop the boxes from running around. So we made a divider item that basically allows you to put it and mount it or install it, whatever, underneath your seat. And for Lightning Kayaks as well, it fits that strike perfectly. And that now allows you to utilize that space under your seat, the Jackson NAR. the way the bar sits up and everything, we had to basically take the sides of this box or the Blue Sky box and added an angle it to where the opening meets that bar so you can still use that area. The bona fide P127, Matt's getting the box pretty quick. And if that fits, then that's going to allow you to take advantage of a very large area under your seat that you couldn't take advantage of before. Now, look, are we the end-all be-all in kayak products? You look, you know, I'm not going to ever say that, but we make more stuff and make more options and do it faster than just about anybody. And the reason why we do that is because we see these things being real problems that really add to the experience, enriches the experience of kayak fishing. It comes out of passion. It comes out of caring and love for the sport. And that's why we do it. Now the other reason, let's get back to the core reason why I made these underneath seat products. I was asked to by hundreds and hundreds of customers. So again, going back to our original point, when we make something, it's not because we see something go, oh, we can make it. No, I see stuff all the time that I know I'm never going to make. And the reason why is because I haven't been asked to. I go back to fishing shows. People have been asking us to make underneath storage of this type for well over a year. So now we have the material in stock. We have the opportunity to do it. We have the staff and our shop. We've now got, I think we've got 5 or 6 employees now. I say or 6 because I'm in the shop. I'm in the shop, in the office more than I'm in the shop these days. And so I'm the or 6 part of it because sometimes I walk back there and get in trouble. But that's the thing, you know, we don't create anything unless our customers have asked for it, and usually a lot of customers. So this duo, we had people asking, is there anything we can do with a seat like this? And we found a way to do it. And I think that speaks volumes on our ability to make meaningful products in the industry and also offer it for $39, you know.
Is that picture on a lightning strike right here?
Yes, it should be.
Yeah, that looks really good. I like that you guys added the bungees.
Yes. Yeah. So the bungee is interesting. So what you would do is you would just tie it as a loop and then you just feed it. So you just basically feed it through your seat bar there. And what that does is then that would just go down and attach to that T bracket right there. And what that does is just snugly keeps your boxes in play.
That's nice.
For when you're transporting or when you're going from spot to spot. The same with the Outback. Now the Outback
looks good on the Outback too.
Yeah, it works even better because it locks in naturally because of the way it's designed with the handles. There's handles underneath to each side underneath that seat. So it kind of is like it's kind of a fat eye bracket that kind of lays on top of it and then just naturally locks in. To be honest with that, you almost don't even have to bungee it in if you don't want to, because it's not really going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I mean, again, and we flipped the boat to test it to see if it did go, and it did not go anywhere. So when we say this stuff, we don't talk out of sides of our mouth. We back it up with thorough testing. But if we, you know, again, there's still what I love about our customer base is they use stuff way different than us, and they give us additional data that we didn't have before, and it makes a better product over time. If you look at our XD crate, it's changed probably 9-10 times since we released it, because we get this crucial feedback, and this, again, this is our life's blood. It sounds like a broken record, but if we don't do it like this, people are not going to buy our products.
Yeah.
And yeah. So we have to do it, and we're not perfect, and we're not omnipotent. However, I do feel like I think we do this just as good, if not better, than some of the larger companies out there.
Agree with that.
Yeah, 100% agree.
So, we hit that. We hit the box riser, rod holders. Hit the Scholle stuff, the mounting plates.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You've just come out with so much. I don't know.
Yeah. I got more talking about. I got more stuff. I mean, give me to Monday. You know.
Yeah.
Let me enjoy the weekend, at least Sunday.
take your time, man.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. It kind of feels like an endless cycle sometimes, because, you know, but I, you know, again, if we keep getting feedback, we see other opportunities, we're always going to continue to be on the hunt to make more stuff. And I think that's something I think that might be our differentiator in the industry. I don't know, but that's, I also think it's fun too, because it's fun to talk to guys like yourselves who are passionate in this sport. You give up your free time for this sport. You take advantage of nature. You do all these things that you don't have to do. You do a lot of outreach to a lot of people, and you've got a podcast that you're managing. You do these things because you love it. And for me, when I know if I show a product to y'all and y'all go on the water and use it and you tell me it's good, I know it's good then, because you guys know what you're talking about. Well, and that's not to kiss your butt or butter your biscuits. That's just to tell you, you know what the hell you're talking about. And when we see our customers, and we've had so many emails as of late, man, that I'm so proud of, that usually you only get emails from customers when there's a problem. Or they want something, you know, they want something new, you know, in terms of like a new product or something, or they want to know if it works on something. But lately we've been getting a new category, which is people sending us pictures telling us how grateful they are for the product and how much they love the experience. They don't have to do that. That's free time they don't have to spend doing. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're doing that, I mean, that's humbling. I mean, that to me personally, that's a very humbling thing when you have a customer take time out of their day to let you know how much they like your product and tell you that it's well built, or tell you that it's very effective, or they're so glad we made a new version that addressed these things. That means the world to me. I mean, again, that's just like what we talked about earlier. What keeps you in this industry? What keeps you doing what you're doing? It's got a lot to do with everyone that buys our products and everyone we're associated with. So we appreciate all of our customers. We appreciate everyone we work with in the industry, even our competitors. I'm grateful for y'all, man. Y'all give me the fuel. Y'all give me the encouragement to keep doing what we're doing. I'm grateful for you guys and all the media guys, you know, that work so hard to create new stories and create new opportunities to have new content. I mean, this is what if you look at how much the kayak industry has changed in the last 3 years alone, or 4 years since I've been in it, it's night and day.
Man. Oh,
it's
yeah.
just night and day. Oh, yeah. And you've got to have people like us out there. I'm not the only one doing this. You know, smaller companies. You look at Yak Hobby. You look at my friend at SAI in California. If one objective. Yakit, I think, is a fellow out of West Virginia. You look at all these people, man, they're working their butts off too, man. And hats mm-hmm. off to them. Hats off to Yak Attack, man. I got love for everybody, man. Here's the thing. I'm almost 50. I'm too old for this backbiting shit. I'll just be honest. Sorry for my cussing, but I'm too old for it, man. It's like we're all working hard to achieve the same thing. That's to put food on our family's plate and to give opportunities to people around us and try to do this together. And it's a great industry. There's plenty of room for all of us. We're all going to do our thing and work as hard as we can to bring our voice and our experiences into it. And I'm glad to be a part of the industry. I love working with everybody.
Heck yeah, dude. Oh yeah. We appreciate you for sure.
I was about to say, we're very happy that you're in the industry. Yeah. You mean just some of the stuff you made has been, just as simple as some of the stuff is just all just changes the whole game of even, you know, a simple adding a paddle holder back to the micros. And it's just the little stuff goes a long way. So yeah, we would definitely appreciate all the work you put in,
man. Glad to do it, man. Again, you know, when you have conversations like this, it just reminds you of what we've done. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, the guys at the shop have said, man, look, just take a step back and just look at the shop and look at the shelves. We've got about a 5,500 square foot facility.
They said, man, just look at the shelves. Look at what's on the shelves. Look at the fact that 3 years ago, none of this existed hardly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe motor mounts and some anchor systems. But look at what's happened even in the last year and a half with all of our track mounted accessories, our quick tracks, our track extenders, all these different products that we continue to keep coming up with. We've got another product that we're about to release that I think will add a lot of options to a lot of people and allow them to mount new ways to easily mount things on their kayak. So, you know, it's like, take a step back. Let's look at all that and just understand what we've actually done. And I think what we've actually done is just give a lot more options that never existed. And had we not done what we've done, I think a lot of our competitors wouldn't have had products that exist now too. And I think that just, again, it just benefits everybody in the industry. And I mean, we can all have our opinions of what we like best. And I think that's awesome because that's our God-given right to do so. But mm-hmm. Hey, for anyone that has not bought our products, give us a try. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And I think that you'll be very, very happy with what we give you.
For sure, man. Matt, I think it's a good time to end, man. You got anything else you want to add?
No, nothing other than John. Thanks for again coming on the show. I'm sure in the next 2 months we'll have you on again for all the new stuff you'll bring out. From the sounds of it, we'll probably have you on again in 2 weeks for all the stuff you're going to bring out this weekend or next week. So pumped for that. The future's looking bright, man. I think you've got nothing but the sky's the limit, and then you're going to bust right through that, and you're going to keep innovating and change the game. So Keep on the grindstone. You're doing great things, man. We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to make a deal with everybody. We'll keep making stuff as long as people keep buying it. How about that?
Hey, that's a good deal. I'm about it.
All right, guys. If you listen to this far, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.
Later.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.